I want to focus today on Paul's words for us because for about a month and a half, we get really good words from Paul out of the book of Romans. I don't know if you heard them this morning, but here it is. The good things I want to do, I don't do. The evil things I don't want to do, I do anyway. Sound familiar? And Paul says, what's wrong with me? Well, Paul nails it on the head. Despite our best intentions, there are times that we do the wrong thing, times we hurt others, times when we are mean and nasty and selfish, short-tempered, petty, and so on. In recovery circles, they talk about the times folks are most likely to relapse is when they are hungry, angry, lonely, and tired. The acronym is HALT. Hungry, angry, lonely, or tired. Those are the times that all of us are most likely to do the very thing we don't intend to. Now, there are some people who take Paul's words today to mean that we don't have any responsibility for the bad things we do, that we're off the hook, because, as Paul says, it's not me, it's sin in me doing these things. Well, nothing could be further from the truth. See, the important thing is not just that we continue to do things that are wrong or bad, but the important thing is that we feel torn about it, that we regret the actions we take, and that we really, truly don't want to do them. It's about intention. Now, Paul describes our sinfulness and the power of evil as something that comes into our lives, that almost takes over like an occupying army, living inside of us and feeling like it makes our choices and decisions for us. The freedom Paul is describing is freedom from the power of evil and sin. Now, Paul's hope, I think, is that we would be free from temptation and the desire to do things that are wrong. But as long as we have breath in our bodies, that is not in the cards. Instead, we all need to wrestle with that inner conflict that lives inside of us all the time. So what Paul gets at again and again in his letter to the Romans is that there are two parts of us. There is our selfish, base, human desire and tendencies, and there is that part of us that wants to live differently, to be faithful to the ways of the kingdom of God. Now, chances are we've all seen that Bugs Bunny cartoon where Elmer Fudd is trying once again to shoot Bugs, and there's a little devil on one shoulder telling him to do something bad, and a little angel on another shoulder whispering in his ear, telling him to do something good. We're not forced to choose either one of those. But we know there are those who get all in a tizzy over the power of Satan or the devil or whatever else you want to call the forces of evil. Folks who get all excited about the devil taking over and making us do things that are wrong and bad. Well, baloney. The devil has one ability. One. All the devil can do is tempt. That's all he's got. Oh, and he's also a really good liar. He's good at leading us to rationalize and justify our way into doing the wrong thing, sometimes even quoting the Bible to try to prove that we should do the wrong thing, just like he did in the temptation of Jesus. But as the old joke goes, how do you know when a liar is lying? His lips move. We are not forced to do things that are wrong, but we do them anyway. So Paul's question is, what's wrong with me? Well, the answer is we're human. That's the way we are. But that does not mean we should settle for it. Paul also tells us elsewhere that we should not use our freedom in Christ as an excuse to sin or as to force ourselves onto others. We get to choose. We get to choose how to use our freedom. But we need to be careful to use our freedom not just to do whatever we want, no matter who it affects. Instead, it's about our freedom from base, life-stealing, score-keeping attitudes and practice. The guiding principle for Christians is whether our actions are full of grace and love or if they benefit us the most. See, asserting our rights and privileges, it might be legal, but what if it happens at the expense of others and benefits us? Does that mean it's the right thing to do? We know that even if something is legal, it does not necessarily make it right. In our time, it has become more and more common for people to want to exercise their rights without any concern about who it's going to impact. Heard about a guy in the news the other day who had a huge political sign that he painted on his fence. And there were some people who objected to the sign, not because of the person that he supported, but because of the off-color obscene language he used. And this guy claimed, well, I'm within my rights. First Amendment says I can say whatever I want to. Well, legally you can. But does that make it right to put up in public obscenities that children read, people with tender sensitivities? See, our choices and our decisions, they all impact other people. How does what you say or do affect others? Do your actions show love and grace? Now, granted, we will never be able to fully escape our sinful nature as long as we are alive. We will continue to do things that are wrong. We will continue to hurt others and God and ourselves, even if we don't intend to. But that does not mean that we should give up and just throw our hands up in despair. We all get pulled between our good and evil intentions. And sometimes we let our better angels lose that battle. But Christ still wins the war in the internal struggle between doing what we want for ourselves and living in the way of Christ, which is loving God by loving others. We need to keep that thing in tension. Denying it just makes it worse. We need to acknowledge our sinfulness and to be aware of it, and then we need to keep ourselves open to learning how our actions might affect others, even if we don't intend it to, along with taking responsibility for the things we choose to do that are wrong and hurtful. That's why we continue to confess the ways every one of our actions and thoughts has ripples in the ponds of life. But we get to confess without fear, with the confidence and courage that our God who made us this way, who gave us freedom of choice, will forgive us. And then we get to practice being free from the power of sin. It's not freedom to do whatever we want. It is freedom to set ourselves up to live without regret and guilt. It's freedom to live in a way that matters, in a way that is not all about us. It is freedom to love others aggressively, to put our time and energy into loving, being kind, being graceful, being generous and forgiving, and knowing what really matters in life. Now, Lord knows, we have lots of opportunity for that today in a time when we continue to experience a decline in civility and respect and honoring our long-established social contracts is suddenly up for grabs. We can't defeat that kind of thing with even more name-calling. What we get to do is respond with love, compassion, and mercy. The focus is not just on the things we do wrong. That's old news. The focus, the energy, is put into what can we do that is loving? How do we get to carry the ways of Christ into this world today? Now, we continue to wrestle with that internal struggle between good and evil, between God's ways and the ways of the world. But it's not a matter of I can't help myself. It's a matter of which voice we will listen to, about who is going to lead us. And we don't travel that road alone. Jesus leads us into the way of life, if we will have it. Love, grace, forgiveness, generosity, compassion. God's ways. Amen.